Now, joining us on the line is Alberto Posso, Associate Professor in Economics from the International Development and Trade Research Group based in RMIT. Alberto, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm quite good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So, Alberto, what has been the response of the Cuban citizens to this new chapter in the presidency?
Well, I think at first, at least from what I've seen following the news, was that generally people were maybe a little bit hopeful, excited for change. However, perhaps after yesterday's speech by both Raul Castro and then by Miguel Díaz-Canel over at the National Assembly, people's hopes might be, for reform that is, might be perhaps a little bit more muted, given that they both, first of all, Raul said that he, as you rightly said, he will stay as the leader of the Communist Party and will continue to pretty much make all major decisions, while President Miguel Díaz-Canel will have more of a secondary role when it comes to the presidency, while he promised to continue to uphold the values of the Communist Revolution. And it doesn't seem like there will be any room for reform.
Right. Well, you say there's no room for any reform. Does Díaz-Canel have any plans or approaches at all to the presidency?
Well, that's difficult to say. See, you know, as most members of the party in Cuba, they sort of align to whatever the regime proposes. And really, the only sort of side of reform we saw was when Raul Castro took over from his brother Fidel a few years ago, and then really began to open up the island to a whole bunch of changes, particularly regarding things like investment and tourism, which was then seen as a very positive step by the Obama regime in the United States. With the entrance of Trump into power, however, there's been a series of important steps toward more isolation, and coming mainly from the Trump administration. And as a result, the Cuban regime has also become a little bit more insular, meaning that, you know, they are sort of responsive to whatever the U.S. does. They remain open largely to Europe and Latin America, but the U.S. embargo has implications for trade beyond that. So basically, as far as I know, I don't think the new president has really a lot of room to maneuver any real changes, while at the same time, it's hard to say what he really wants, because in the regime, you don't really get much of a voice.
Right. Well, what are the implications of Castro remaining as head of the Communist Party then? Will he have any power?
Yeah. So yesterday at the National Assembly, the President Castro, well, ex-President Castro, Raul Castro, said that he will remain as the head of the power, as the party, which means that they will be making, or he will be behind all major decisions. This actual sentence was sort of given also by the new president, who said that all major decisions in the island will be taken by Raul Castro.
Right. Now, if you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Alberto Posso, Associate Professor in Economics from the International Development and Trade Research Group based in RMIT University, about the latest on the Cuban presidency developments. So, Alberto, how was the process in choosing who would succeed Castro put in place?
Well, it's an interesting process. So there's a legislature in Cuba, which is, I think, made up of a little bit over 500 members. And they're sort of the voice of the people, if you will, there. But really, the decisions mainly taken by by the heads of the Communist Party, and which really means Raul Castro. Throughout history, there's been a number of potential successors that were flown out by the media, and sometimes you would hear Cuban experts talk about them, of which Miguel Díaz-Canel was one of them. However, it seems like only Miguel Díaz has been sort of he's clearly the only one that has sort of stepped up. And it seems that he's gained a lot of favor with Raul Castro, possibly because in private conversations, Miguel Díaz continued to sort of uphold the values of the communist regime, while, you know, at least publicly, he's been very vocal about continuing the status quo, which I think Raul Castro and the main powers within the Communist Party would like to maintain.
So you talk about Miguel maintaining what's currently happening. Can we predict what's the future hold for Cuba under the leadership of Miguel Díaz, or are we looking at pretty much the same?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect a lot of change, at least not for the next 3 years. Basically, what's going to happen is the presidency of the Communist Party will remain under Raul Castro. In Cuba, that means that he will remain as the de facto leader anyway. Now, that's only for the next 3 years, which we can think of as a transition period. After the transition period ends, it's possible that the president of the country, Miguel Díaz, will be also the president of the Communist Party, which is really the standard in communist regime. And once that happens, then he will be able perhaps to make a few more changes. Now, whether he wants to or not, we still have to see, in the sense that, you know, this is someone that grew up with the Communist Party. So he was born after the revolution, but his career has been within the party. So he's a trained engineer that worked up through the ranks of the Communist Party through various representative jobs within the party, and now has made it all the way to the top. So it's hard to say whether he is someone that is going to be a little bit more pragmatic, or whether he's more of an ideologue. And I think we'll have to wait and see. At this stage, though, you know, I wouldn't run around sort of saying it's time to start in investing in Cuba, because it's going to open up tomorrow. That's very unlikely.
Right. Well, there's some very interesting times for Cuba. Alberto, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.